The Call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death.
The Bible speaks about times of testing and trials that we have to face as believers. And they were, in the analogy of being on a boat, well, they were rocking in the boat because of persecution, the winds and the rain that was of persecution and difficulties that they were facing. And they were considering whether they should go back to Judaism, and since they put their faith in Christ, started to follow him, that opposition, hardships started to come their way. And the writer to Hebrews tell them, no, it's not a time to walk away. It's a time to exercise faith, and exercise faith in God and his promises and his word, and to follow the example of other believers in the past throughout Israel's history who embody to us what it means to live by faith. Now, we've been learning in this series what faith actually means. Faith is a confident assurance of the things that God has promised, which are not a present reality. If they were a present reality, you wouldn't need to have faith, would you? The fact that they're not, you need to have faith. And it's a conviction of the reality of things that we do not see or presently see, which are revealed to us in God's word. And already in this series, we've looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah, and they lived in the period between the beginning of the world and the flood. And we saw their faith was expressed in different ways, expressed in the worship of God, worshiping God the way that he revealed to us that we should worship him, walking with God, walking closely, consistently, obediently, and witnessing for God. Noah last week that we're looking at, he walked with God and he was a witness for God, and that should be true of our faith as well. Walking, worshiping God, walking with God, witnessing for God. And today we're going to consider people who lived in the period between the flood and the giving of the law at Sinai. And we're going to spend this morning looking at Abraham and Sarah. And the writer to Hebrews highlights four events in connection with Abraham and Sarah's faith. First of all, they're leaving home and going to the promised land by faith. Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, that must have been immensely challenging for Abraham to uproot himself, his wife, his servants, all their possessions that accumulated up until that point, and to, where they'd lived for 75 years, and to move away, leave all that was familiar, all that was home, all that was family, and leave for a destination, an inheritance, which would only at a future point be revealed. Now, humanly speaking, you would say that was reckless. And yes, to do that, yes, humanly speaking, was reckless. But Abraham did so because he believed, he had great confidence, assurance in God and the incredible promise that he spoke to him to make him into a great nation, to bless him, to bless all nations through him. What an incredible promise God gave to him. And when we placed our faith and confidence in God, when we handed our life over to God to follow his plan and purpose for our life, it was viewed by many, perhaps in your family circle, they thought that you'd lost the plot. What are you doing? Reckless. But we did so because we had confidence, assurance in God and the promises that he had spoken to us. And what incredible blessings were spoken to us of eternal salvation, of a relationship with God. And we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So how wise to place our faith in God. And that psalm that we read this morning, Psalm 84, expressed again to us the blessings of putting our trust in the Lord and how blessed we are. Yes, from a world's perspective, it was recklessness, but what a wise decision the first psalm, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, go in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. If you don't, you're foolish, actually. You're chaff. You're blown in the wind. It's wise to place our faith in God. Once Abraham and Sarah, they arrived at Canaan, which was very much inhabited. God revealed to Abraham that the land would not be his possession, but the possession of his future offspring, meaning that he would only live in the land as a foreigner, as a stranger, as a pilgrim. Now, that might have been a real disappointment to him. However, Abraham accepted the revelation in an amazing way. We see him in chapter 12, verse 8, building an altar there to the Lord, worshipping, thanking God for what he had revealed to him. And thereafter, for the rest of his life, a further 100 years, he didn't put down roots. Instead, he dwelt in tents, and he was content to do so. The only land he purchased towards the end of his life, it was a burial ground for his wife, Sarah. And it was faith. It was confidence. It was assurance in God and his word of promise that enabled Abraham to respond in that way. Hebrews 11, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Faith, believing that God would give him offspring. Humanly, it was impossible. Sarah was barren. Faith, believing that his offspring would inherit the land. And that faith was tested, because Isaac, who was born 25 years later, was 75 years old when Abraham died. And in that time, he too lived in tents. He didn't inherit the land, and neither did his son Jacob. It was only much later, in the time of Joshua, that Abraham's offspring inherited the land. What great faith, what confidence, what assurance Abraham and his offspring had in God and his word of promise. And as we see from what the writer to Hebrews had written about Abraham's faith, God must have revealed to him that the land his offspring were going to inherit was not the full fulfillment of the promise, but just a temporary fulfillment. God had the greater land. He had an inheritance for all his people, including Abraham, the Hebrew believers, and us living today. That inheritance is heaven. It's a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And Abraham believed God's revelation. He had the conviction of the reality of the things he did not see. He looked forward to the day that he would go there. It was God's promised inheritance that enabled him to make his home in the promised land, and like a stranger in a foreign country. I wonder, is that how we view ourselves? Strangers in this world, with heaven as our home? Or is this world very much home? The ultimate reality to us. There was a songwriter, Jim Reeves, and he wrote the words of a song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Is that how we feel? It's faith in God's promised future inheritance that enables us to not make this world our home and see ourselves as strangers living in a foreign country. Now that's reckless as well from the world's perspective, but they're wrong. They're wrong. They place everything on here and now. And what a shock it's going to be when they discover that they're not ready for the future world, God's coming kingdom. And then thirdly, we're looking at Sarah. Sarah receiving power. We've been looking much at Abraham's faith. He's described in the Bible as the father of the faithful, the father of those who exhibit similar faith in God and his promise. But what about Sarah? Did she share the same faith? Well, in Hebrews reveals that she did share the same faith. Sarah receiving power to conceive offspring when barren and well past the childbearing age. Sarah's ability to be able to conceive, well, that was the outworking of the promise that God had given Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. But it was also connected to Sarah's faith, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age and also barren, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand in the seashore. Sarah was enabled to conceive because she considered God faithful who had made the promise. And that faith was tested. From the time the promise was spoken to Abraham, 25 years had to pass before the promised child was born. By that time, Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90, beyond the age of childbearing, as good as dead. Humanly speaking, the fulfillment of the promise was even more unlikely. But still, Sarah believed that God could and would deliver his promise. And yes, we know that after being childless for 10 years, Sarah told Abraham to sleep with her maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And that was the case. Ishmael was born, but he was not the promised child. And a further 15 years were to pass before Sarah was miraculously enabled to conceive, to give birth to Isaac, the promised child. Despite her doubts, after 10 years waiting, God was still faithful to his promise. And God still commends her for her faith. Yes, she had to wait a further 15 years before the promised child came. And that can't have been easy. But we see how gracious God is, our God. None of these individuals that we are meeting in this hall of faith, they weren't perfect. They were still sinners and they followed the Lord, but not perfectly. And we'll come to this wonderful statement at the end, after we look at them, that Jesus Christ is the author, the perfecter of our faith. Isn't that great? He's the perfecter of our faith. Imperfect though our faith may be, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. It's a mixture. It will be a mixture all the way through our lives. But the Lord, he's the perfecter of our faith. He followed the Lord, his Father, perfectly. And he did that for us. Praise God, Christ is the perfecter of our faith. And then lastly, Abraham and Sarah's faith in God and his promise was given the supreme test. In the fourth occasion, the writer to Hebrews mentions Abraham's trial in the offering of Isaac. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. You would have thought that God asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac would have made Abraham question and doubt God's intention, his promise to give him offspring. No, he still believed that God would fulfill his promise, reasoning that God would raise him from the dead. How remarkable! Abraham demonstrated that faith by taking steps to carry out God's request to sacrifice his only son. And he would have done so had God not intervened. What incredible faith in God and his promise. No wonder he is described as the father of the faithful. No one apart from God was given a greater test. There was no intervention in God's case. He sacrificed his son for us. And praise God, he raised him from the dead. And through Christ, Abraham's seed, the promise, the blessing of salvation was extended to all the nations of the earth. What an incredible outworking of that promise that God gave to Abraham. Today we've learned about Abraham and Sarah's faith in God and his word. It required costly obedience, leaving their homeland, going to an unknown destination, being prepared to live as strangers in the promised land, being prepared to patiently wait for the promised child, being even willing to sacrifice Isaac at God's request. God required the same faith, marked by costly obedience from the Hebrew converts. And God requires the same costly obedience from us. Abraham and Sarah's story spurs us to continue to put our faith, our confidence, our assurance in God. However costly or challenging that may be, because through faith and perseverance, we will receive, we will inherit God's promises in this life and supremely in the eternal heavenly inheritance that God has prepared for his people. We read this morning, Psalm 84, it ends, "O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man and woman who trusts in you. If you're trusting in the Lord, you're blessed. And when you awaken in God's presence and see the glories of your Savior and your heavenly inheritance, you will rejoice in a far greater way. And you say, oh, what a wonderful salvation. It's even more wonderful than I had imagined. But God wants our eyes to be opened, to rejoice while we're living through this life in the wonder of the inheritance that is awaiting us, that we have. We've got the privilege of worshiping God, walking with God, witnessing to God, working for God. And we will receive a reward for that in a coming day. Yes, you have made the wise choice in deciding to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.